Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Mythic Physique, I am honored to be speaking with Ryan Foley, artist, bodybuilder, and so much more. Greetings and welcome, Ryan. How are you?
Good evening, sir. I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I was able to get my old Facebook account back. Then began the work of all the things I tried creating from scratch again, connecting them with what I had done before and modifying everything. So that's going to be an ongoing process, but it's a joyous one. So I'm glad that that happened.
I am too. That's excellent. Well, I've been looking forward to speaking with you. I've been doing a lot of research. And so I'm excited to talk to you tonight. So just for me to go through and get started here, just to introduce myself to any potential new listeners, one of the things that I want to say right off the bat, I'm not a doctor myself. I don't have a degree in the sciences and such. Mainly, most of what I've learned has come by doing. So basically, I started in June. I will have been on this journey for 8 years.
Wow.
And so as I've been doing this, I still find that there are incredible things to learn. There's, all sorts of modifications. Just when you think you found the perfect routine, things are going to come along and give you different ways to look at things. And so it's this constantly evolving process. And so one of the things that I really like to do whenever I come on here, my goal for your listeners is to go through and elevate their gym IQ.
Yes.
I want people to not only, I don't just want to tell you to do the bench press. I want you to understand why we do the bench press. It's, and developing, the science behind it, developing your knowledge behind it. And so one of the things that I have found that is not really shouted from the rooftops, loud enough. Because we are living in this tremendous golden age of information where everything that you have is right there at your fingertips. And if you want to learn how to do a bench press, if you, prefer to read about it, if you want to watch it, or if you're one of these people that learn by doing, we do have this tremendous, reservoir of knowledge where you can go through and you can watch YouTube videos. You can read about it if that's your preferred method. But so we have all this information, but I think one of the things that that gets too bogged down into, how to do things, they don't really talk about the why of it all. And so the thing that I feel is not focused on enough, what I have found is that my training and this regiment that I have created, I don't want to say from scratch because then that makes it sound like I'm reinventing the wheel. And really what I'm doing is I'm standing on the shoulders of, the individuals who have come before and then just tweaked that. I basically treat it like a Chinese buffet where I'm going to go through, I'm going to take what I like and I'm going to use what works for me. And then I'm going to go through and develop it into my own routine. But so what I don't hear people talking about is what I consider to be a tripod of knowledge. So you have these three different areas, because if you have three, that's going to give you a little bit of a more solid base that's going to keep you from tipping over. And so the three legs of my training that I'm going through and I'm developing is the physical, it is the mental, and it is the emotional components within my training. And so It's easy to jump on YouTube and you're going to see all this stuff about, how to properly perform a bench press. And that's all fantastic. But one of the things that we don't talk about is the mental improvements that help because of this. And this is where, you're getting those neurons firing whenever you're going through and you're reading all these various articles, or you're trying to develop your own personal program and what works and what doesn't. So that's where you're going through and you're exercising your mind. But then the area that I think is not nearly focused on enough is the emotional improvement that we'll go through. And so as I'm going through and I'm often doing my research, whether it's, you know, I know a lot of people are extremely concerned right now with the algorithm whenever it comes to the internet. And so who knows, you know, how that algorithm is programmed, but, you know, given all the stuff that I click on, whether we can call it the algorithm, whether we can call it fate, you know, however, a divine intervention, however you want to go through and label it, there are some times where I feel like I find these articles where when I'm supposed to read them. So that way I can go through and I can absorb that information at the time that I need to. And then it's my job as a, I don't know if educator is the right term, but as someone that's trying to help people along with their journey, it's my job to go through, assimilate that information, and then spit it back out to other people. So that way they can learn, you know, things hopefully within the window that they need to go through and learn it. And so I think the important thing that I want to do right here, right off the bat. So in my 9-to-5, I'm an office manager for a small insurance company. We do home insurance. And so I'm a little bit of an insurance guy. And in the policy that you get mailed out, if you go through and you take out an insurance policy with us, uh-huh. In the very the first couple of pages there, we have these definitions. And so it's a thing where we go through and we say, okay, this is the definitions within the context of this document that you're now about to read. Yeah, this may be what the definition is out in the world, but as far as this document goes, this is how we define, you know, let's say vermin. You know, so this is what we consider to be, you know, vermin. So this is our description. So one of the things I'm going to talk about here tonight that I think is extremely important, especially right now, is depression. And so I want to go through and make a clear definition of okay. when I'm talking about depression or when I'm talking about someone being depressed. So when I say depression, I'm talking about true clinical depression, where they need help to get through this, where they need to help to get through the situation that they're in by the means of a professional therapist, you know, possibly medication. But then there's also just being depressed, and that's where it's being just sad, you know. But typically that sadness is brought on because of a situational thing. So in the broadest of terms, here, you know, about 10 years ago, I went through a bout where I think I would be considered to have been depressed. I don't think I was suffering from depression. I think I was being depressed because I was involved in a situation that anyone would have been sad in. And once I was able to get myself out of that situation and remove that darkness out of my life, I no longer felt the symptoms of what I thought was depression. So I think that I was depressed. So in going through and studying this, I came across an article here earlier this month where they're talking about depression and exercise. But and again, so see, I got to catch myself here. So when I'm going to talk about being depressed and then going through and developing, you know, through exercise. So I know you and I have talked about this in the past, about how they have the medical research that shows that when people are feeling depressed, instead of going through and putting them on psychotropic drugs or you know, putting them on any sort of medication that's going to go through and alter their brain chemistry, mm-hmm. doctors are now coming along and they're saying, well, you know what? How about before we do that, let's put you on an exercise program and let's see how that develops. And then we'll see. And then if we have to go the medication route, we can, but let's try to do this version first and let's see what happens. And so there is brand new research. There were two studies done in at Iowa State University. And so basically what they've been talking about is if you go through and you do this 30 minutes of exercise, it often gives you a 75-minute window or possibly even more, but for it's where it's going to go through and it's going to give you the 75-minute window where you're going to feel extremely good about yourself. So whenever they go through and they're talking about, so what is the reason for this? And so just real quickly, because I know we've talked about this in the past, but I feel it's worth repeating. So whenever you go through and you're lifting weights, it hurts, or at least it should. If you're doing it right, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be painful, but it is going to hurt. And I think there's a very, you know, there's a distinct difference there.
Yes.
You don't want to lift to a point where you're in pain, but you do want to lift to where it hurts. And so once you go through and you start lifting those heavy weights or manageably heavy weights, and your body is going to start to feel this this hurt that you start to go through. And as you do that, the muscles then start talking to the brain, and it goes, hey, man, we don't know what's going on here, but we don't like this. You better do something about it. And so the brain says, all right, I gotcha. I'll take care of you. Here, enjoy all these endorphins. And so those endorphins, they're designed to help the body mitigate pain. So it's, and chemically, it's very, very similar to that of morphine. But the only difference is, so it's naturally occurring. You don't get addicted to it, and it doesn't wear off over time where you don't need higher and higher doses in order to feel these effects. So in a sense, what you do, so you're going through, and what it also comes along with, it gives you this sense of, you know, pride. You feel good about yourself, and you look upon the world with those same eyes where you, like, suddenly you start to feel really good. So I do think that this is extremely important. So now here's this new data coming out from Iowa State University, and so they're going through it, and they're linking these, you know, this exercise with how to defeat I'm not going to use the word depression, in order to deal with being depressed. So, and then, of course, as the article is posted, the internet does what the internet does. And some of the comments that came in were actually quite funny. You know, there was one where someone went through and I said, okay, so let's see. So there's 24 hours in a day, 30 minutes to exercise, and it gives you a 75-minute window, which means there are, and they did the math, and they said it's 13.7 105-minute blocks in 24 hours. So that means you only need to work out 7 hours a day in order to defeat the depression. And, you know, so it's like, okay, that's a little bit too literal, but, yeah, I get what they're saying. And so while I know it's a little bit of a dark joke, but it struck me funny. So I was like, okay, yeah, some of these guys, they're good. And then there were some people that came back with, they approach it more, a little bit more with a humorous angle, which is kind of the same way that I would. But then there were other people that were coming along, and they were not nearly as funny, where they were talking about how, you know, people with depression often struggle to find the motivation to perform even the most basic of survival tasks.
Right.
And so you're now asking them to go out and do 30 minutes of exercise, which is going to be intolerably painful for them, for 75 minutes worth of benefits. And so for a person that's already struggling and already suffering from poor mental health, that's going to be a really hard sell. You know, so, and to that I completely understand. And that's where I don't think there's any sort of weakness that comes along for needing help if you're in that situation. And if there's anyone out there who is feeling that way, I strongly encourage you, you know, to go through it and seek that professional help that you need. At the time that I was going through my depressed state, that's, you know, where my dad came along and he was like, oh, I really think you need to get into therapy. And then not that I was eschewing it, not that I was saying that, you know, therapy is bad, but it's just I'm low income. And so if you're low income and you don't have good health insurance, the argument is, oh, well, you know, poor people, they don't go to therapy. Poor people drink. That's how we, you know, that's our coping mechanism. That's how we handle it. But I'm not a drinker, so that's really not an option for me. But so that's where I go back to, it was, you know, close to 8 years ago. I go through and I decide to change my life. And I decide to do that by going to the gym. It was a thing where I wasn't satisfied with my physical appearance, and that was having, you know, so that was tough on me mentally. So I decided to go through and kind of reclaim things. And so by going through and doing that, what I've discovered is that there are a lot of times where we have so much going on in our lives, whether or not we're dealing with, you know, work and issues that or issues with our families and all the different problems, then let's not forget that, I mean, COVID isn't going anywhere right now.
No.
You know, so it's getting better. It's getting better because more people are getting vaccinated and, you know, so it doesn't have as much of a breeding ground to live in. So we're getting there. So I do understand that. And then as a creative person, you know, going through and writing a novel, it is not easy. It's a difficult thing to do. In contrast, if writing a novel or, you know, learning to become a painter or dealing with, you know, the stuff that you're dealing with at work, when all that stuff is really hard, sometimes it's cool to go through and find something that is extremely simple. And so when I say this with the utmost reverence, exercise, it's not easy, but it's simple. I'm just going to go through, I'm going to pick up this weight and I'm going to set it back down. That's, you know, so it's easy for us to go through and do that. So you do your routine, your brain, you know, starts flooding your body with all these chemicals. So as a result, you get rewarded. And so what that does, it gives you this sense of accomplishment where you're going through. And so now at the very least, I can come along and I can say, yes, I did this for the day. And if I do a big heavy squat or a big heavy deadlift or a big, you know, heavy bench press, then by going through and doing that, filing, you know, declaration pages in a filing cabinet is pretty darn easy, you know, by comparison. So I have this sense of accomplishment of what I've done to go through and start my day. There is a thing where I personally work out in the morning. It's easier for me. I prefer it as a way to start my day, so that way I don't have an opportunity to have my workouts derailed by something coming up or having to do something and having to skip a workout. So, you know, I work out in the morning. It gives me more energy throughout the day. But then the other things that it can do is it can come through here and it can develop a sense of confidence. And so I'm going to speak on this a little bit later on in our conversation, okay, because I'm going to delve just a little bit into Instagram and the dangers that are involved in that. But for now, let me just say, so confidence is a thing that we begin to develop as we go through and we're starting to work out, we're losing weight, or our body composition is changing. So that confidence can be there. And then the other thing is that, quite frankly, and especially again with COVID still being out there, working out gives you something to do. You know, I mean, I would think that for a person that is feeling in a depressed state, it would only make it worse for them if they're alone in their house. But at the same time, if you're able to get out of the house, even if you're just forcing yourself to walk around the track or, you know, but you're getting outside in the sun, doing all this sort of stuff and going to the gym, even if it's just a couple of times a week, it's going to go through and it's going to help fuel that mental wellness that we've all been looking for.
That makes a lot of sense. I find that meditation also helps in a different way. But between exercise and meditation, not that I never feel down, but the amount of time and the frequency of my feeling down is greatly reduced compared to most people.
And so, right. And that would be one of the things. And then I think we also have to factor in there, whenever you're going through and you're doing all this tremendous amount of exercise, I think you're also boosting your natural immune system. And so as a result, I mean, with the exception, now I will say, full disclosure, I caught COVID back in December of 2020. And that was not fun. It was yet not good.
No.
So aside from that, I can't really remember the last time that I was down for any sort of significant amount of time due to an illness once I started this regimen. So I think it goes through and it boosts that immune system. And that, I think, is also something that can go through and kind of help keep those levels up. So at the very least, you're reaching what Aristotle would choose, what he called the golden mean, where you're trying to find this balance between all things. If you think about if you're positioned in the center of a seesaw or a teeter-totter, you know, you're trying to keep everything, all that in balance. And I think by going through and doing that, you're going to go through and you're going to find that life is a little bit better. So one of the things that I discovered both in lifting weights, in bodybuilding, and then going through and doing things creatively. So the way I want to think of, be it the human body, think of it as the mind, or even as the soul itself, I like to use the analogy of thinking about all of those things. Imagine it like a sponge, and it's sitting in a shallow pan that's filled with water. And so you can only wring so much water out of it at a given time. So after so long, you know, the effort to go through and wring out just one more drop, it requires this tremendous amount of effort. However, if you go through and you stop and you put that sponge back in the water and then come back to it, you can get much more out of it with much less effort. So this is why I'm a firm believer in volume training. And so in volume training, in looking at the stats that I've had, for all of 2022, I'm averaging 6 days a week in the gym. But the difference is that I'm going in and I'm averaging, again, about an hour session. I go in, I do my cardio, I lift my weights, I do my, you know, cool down cardio, you know, some stretching, and then I'm out because I only have a certain amount of time before I have to get to the office. But as a result, I believe I'm doing more within those hours than the guy who's in there, you know, working out, you know, 3 days a week and doing 2 hour long sessions. So it's these little tiny bursts. And so how I equate this is to my creativity. So whenever I'm going through and I'm working on my novel or I'm working on a comic book or, you know, working on those type of scripts, it's these bursts of energy that I go through. And so a lot of people, it would be easy to sit back and look at it and go, well, he's not working. You know, I write a page, I go and I do some laundry, you know, I write a page, I watch a TV show, I write a page and I'm playing my Mahjong, you know, game on my phone. You know, but the difference is that I'm doing these short bursts over a long period of time, which means I'm working 12-hour days instead of working 8-hour days, because it's not a clock in and out type thing. So it's I think it'd be easy for someone who's on the outside looking in, you know, come along and try to see, you know, well, what is this guy really doing? But what they found, so it's by working in these shorter bursts, but with longer rest times, you actually become more productive. And this is a lot of the times why businesses they're looking really hard right now. They're testing, I know they're testing it over in Europe and they're talking about it here, but they're seriously considering going to a 4-day work week just because it makes people more productive. And so that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to find this balance. We're trying to find this golden mean, this balance in all things in order for us to go through and become the best versions of ourselves. And so I think, you know, I see these guys and they're in there, they're killing it in the gym and they're doing great. And I think a lot of the uninitiated, they believe that we're going through and we're building our muscles as we're going through and we're doing these workouts. And that's not exactly how it works. So you go through, you're lifting these heavy weights and you're creating these micro tears in your muscles. This is the soreness that we feel at the end of the day. And so the most important part, now the body's going to go through, it's going to start stitching all those little tiny tears back together. In order to do that, It needs protein. So that's why protein is so important in your diet. But then the single most important aspect of all this recovery is your sleep. And sleep, it is so essential for everything. And so again, sometimes I seek out the article. Sometimes I think the articles seek out me. But for whatever reason, up into my queue came this documentary, and it was called The Quest for Sleep. It's available on YouTube. You can go through it. You can look that up. It's roughly about an hour and 15 minutes. It's pretty fascinating. So I went through, and so I'm enjoying this documentary. And so two of the people that they talked with, they were professional athletes. So, I mean, these are people that are the tops in their fields, but I think we can take what they have, you know, laid out here and apply it into our own lives, even if we're not trying to be professional athletes, you know, but based off their recommendations. So two of the people that they talked about for the interview, the first one is a woman by the name of Emma Coburn. So Emma Coburn is a track and field. She's an Olympic medalist. She's a world champion. She's a long distance runner. Now, very different training style than what you and I would do to go through and build these muscles. But she doesn't need, you know, these big, strong muscles because then she's just carrying around more weight. But she does mention how she's in the weight room 2 to 3 days a week. But then she also runs 90 miles in a week. And so I'm sitting here doing the math, and I'm like, holy cow. So if she trains 6 days a week, she's running 15 miles a day. And so I went through and I started charting, you know, how much my cardio was going to be because I wanted to do 365 miles this year. That was my goal. So I've been charting my progress. And I mean, I'm doing 40 miles in a month, and I think I'm doing fantastic. She's over here running 90 miles in a week. But again, she's a professional. She's an Olympian. Yeah, so she's big time. But in the article, what she was talking about in the documentary, so she's a professional distance runner. This means year-round training. So she's always on the go, and she is – you know, extremely regimented when it comes to her getting 9 hours of sleep every night, because she knows if she doesn't, it snowballs. And so one of the things that she started talking about, if her Monday sleep is compromised, it's going to go through on Tuesday and it's going to compromise her training. That's going to continue to compound. And so now Tuesday's sleep is compromised. And by Friday, she mentioned how she has a cold. So now, granted, this is a professional athlete that is pushing herself, you know, to the physical limits on a daily basis. But I can see how, yeah, so if her body is having to work so hard just to keep herself maintained, I think that can be where, yeah, you're leaving yourself open to developing a cold if you're not properly going through and getting, you know, the right amount of protein that you need and the right amount of sleep that you need. So that was one of the first, you know, people that they talked to. The second was a gentleman. I'm gonna butcher the pronunciation of his name, but his name was Andre Iguodala. And so this is a professional basketball player. So he's going through, and he was talking about the same thing about how how sleep is so incredibly important. And the difference is that he actually had the data to back up where he could see the fall off on his stats because he had a bad night's sleep. And so now you've got the literal physical evidence right here going, see, yep, this is where I slept poorly. And, you know, this is my performance during the game. So he actually had, you know, this unique set of stats where he could go through and he could see how he was doing. And so what Andre was talking about, now keep in mind, he was a professional basketball player. So he was playing basketball in college. And a lot of us have experienced this, even if we're not professional athletes, but it becomes this self-perpetuating cycle. So in college basketball, there's always someone coming up behind you that wants to take your spot. So if you have a bad game, there's a chance that, you know, you could be pulled and someone else is going to come in and take your spot. So the more you worry about that, now you're laying awake at night, staring at the ceiling, worried about someone who's coming up behind you, and you're worried about your sleep. So then as a result, you're not getting the proper amount of sleep that you need. So that becomes, you know, and then it leads into even more performance, you know, poor performance. And so, yeah, it just becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. And so I will be the first to admit I've had quite a few of those nights where I've stared at the ceiling, be it because I, you know, maybe we're having, you know, issues at work. Maybe I'm having relationship issues, or, you know, I'm worried about my kids and, you know, things like that. You know, whatever it is, we all experience this from time to time, and then you're going to go through and you're going to feel it the next day. So this is a thing where sleep is so tremendously important, but and this is where I go back to, because I'll try to fit him in to every single time that you and I talk. I will find a way to mention Arnold Schwarzenegger. he's one of my idols. He's one of my heroes. He's someone who I look up to. And so Schwarzenegger always talks, I love to go to him as an inspiration, because he talks about how you have to relax. You have to relax because you perform better when you're relaxed. And so whenever you're going through and you're, and if you're tense, and we all know they have, you know, cited evidence of how drowsy driving, it can be just as dangerous as driving under the influence of alcohol. So mm-hmm. whenever we go through and, you know, well, we're just not sleeping properly, oh my goodness, it can be nightmarish for us. And it can continue to compound upon itself. And I think you can see this in all the different things that are out there. So I always try to warn people, everyone's trying to sell you something. I'll be up honest and with all your listeners right now, I'm not charging anyone anything. I'm not going to pass around a collection plate after this is all over. This is just me coming on and talking about my personal experience. But there's a pretty good chance that, you know, if you see something out there, they're trying to sell you something. And so if you want to burn fat, well, then you need to buy this supplement. Or if you want to increase your workout strength, you need to take this supplement. So they're all trying to sell you something. And you can see the amount of stuff where you have, you know, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys is talking about how, oh, yeah, I sleep on this bed and it's absolutely fantastic. And how they have these smart beds now that are going through and tracking your rhythm, and how the iWatch can go through and it knows how much you sleep at night. And so they're giving you all these stats. And I'm not saying those stats aren't important, but everyone's trying to go through and sell you the best. And so whether or not it's, you know, melatonin or, you know, the sleep aids, all this sort of stuff. If there's all these people out there trying to sell you a product that's going to help you sleep better, that's how you know how important it is. And I think the people that have experienced that insomnia, or they're not able to sleep at night, they're the ones that can tell you the most, you know, how important this sleep is. But by going through and doing that, allowing your body to heal as it needs to, it's just, it's so incredibly important.
That's very true.
So in going through and talking about this, as I mentioned, I try to go to the gym every day. I think I'm probably averaging, you know, 6 days a week, at least if I'm going through and I'm looking at my charts. And so a lot of times I think one of the problems that we come across is that, it's an erroneous statement that people make whenever they say, oh, well, everyone has 24 hours in a day. And, you know, so, but that's not, it's not entirely true. In the strictest sense, yes, everyone has 24 hours in a day. But then when we go through and we're comparing ourselves to someone like a Bill Gates, or an Elon Musk, or, you know, The Rock, you know, someone that's going through, and they are these incredibly wealthy individuals. Bill Gates isn't doing the laundry. Elon Musk isn't mowing his lawn. So we all have this stuff that we have to get done throughout the day. And then we're also going through, you know, we're working for 8 hours. I personally have a 24-minute commute. to work. So I'm doing that every day. And then the commute up to the gym is 12 minutes one way. So I'm spending about an hour a day in the car. I'm doing 8 hours there in the gym. And then just with all the other stuff that we've got going on. And then when you go through, so a lot of people, they want to try to sacrifice sleep. Well, so I'll just, stay up a little bit later. So what happens is whenever you go through and you decide, I'm going to be part of this program, I'm going to make this part of my life because I want to go through and I want to set myself goals. In being real honest with my goals, the two goals that I have, having done this for almost 8 years, I know the level of dedication that is required to get to that top level. And I wish I could tell you that I have it, and I don't. I'm too much of a victim. I love cookies. Food is my weakness, and I know it. So it's kind of one of the things. And now being, 47, y'all turn 48 at the end of the year, it's kind of one of those things. I don't know if I have that in me to get to that elite level. But that's when I was, I started doing a self-assessment. Okay, well, what do I really want to get out of this? And so I do like how working out has helped me deal with my depressive state, not my depression state, but my depressive state. And then I do like how it's improved me physically. I like how it's improved me mentally. So my goal right now is to be healthier and to hopefully look good without any clothes on. So that's where I'm trying to get to. I'm not trying to get to that Rock level or that Chris Hemsworth level, because again, they're dealing with professional trainers and professional chefs, and that's all they have to do is work out, because that's part of their job. These professional wrestlers and these professional bodybuilders, they're professionally sponsored, so they have the time, because that's their job to spend, 4 or 6 hours in the gym. So I think whenever we go through and we're doing this sort of stuff, we have to decide, well, what is important to us? And so that's where there are times where things have to be kind of shunted to the side. And the reason why I feel that bodybuilding is the cornerstones for going through and improving your life is because success going to generate this hunger for even more success. So whenever someone first gets started, let's say, they're hitting the gym. I mean, your average gym goer, they're going, twice a week. And because they're more than happy, they don't really want to go through and get to this, big swole level that, that people are trying to get to. And so they're happy just doing the 2 days. But then there are some people where it starts to go through and it starts to become this itch. And I know you and I have talked about this, about how, you train on almost a daily basis as well. Yes. Because we feel better. You feel better when you do it. So it's now, and it's just eventually you get to a point where you've developed this habit. And so now this is just part of the lifestyle. And as you go through and as you're developing this lifestyle, then you start looking around at ways where you can go through and you can improve. And this is where I'm talking about making sure that you're getting your solid 8 hours. And so maybe that means you're starting to wind down, around 9:30, and it's lights out at 10 o'clock because you've got to get up at 5:30 in order to go to the gym. So if you're going to get that solid amount of sleep that you need, so you go through and you start changing your lifestyle. You go through, you start changing, the ways that you can do to go through and develop the way that you want to. And so I know that everyone is, so it's okay to goof off. It's okay. And sometimes we do need those relaxing activities where we can go through and we can let our minds just reset. Hey, let's not think about everything. But unfortunately, and I say this, I have to say this carefully, otherwise people, they'll come after me with pitchforks. But, so we're slaves to this American culture that says we have to be going all the time. You have to work extremely hard all the time. Everyone has to have a side hustle. you know, and now I'm not talking about the people that need their side hustle to survive, the people that are working two jobs in order to pay the bills. I'm not talking about those people at all, but it's, you know, the people that are going through, it's, so they say that if earning $100,000 a year is the new middle class, well, then I know by all means, I'm definitely not the new middle class. And so this is where people would come along and say, well, that's where you got to have a side hustle. You got to go through, you got to do this and you got to do that. You know, so, but again,
maybe,
there's only so
maybe they have to do that. But,
right. You know, yeah.
They have to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Where for me, it's not nearly that much. And so I have to go through and I have to decide, okay, well, what's important to me. Another way that I would go through and I would equate this is, man, right now, holy cow, we are in a golden age of entertainment as well as this golden age of information where there's so much stuff to watch. There's so many good shows. There are times where I just have to let stuff go by the wayside because I don't have enough time to do it. You know, so it's, if I want to go through and I want to, if I want to read my books and if I want to write my books and if, you know, and watch a show here and there, but then at the same time, I've also got to work, and then I've got to go through and I've got to get my sleep, and then I've got to go through and I've got to get my gym in. This is where you have to choose what's important to you. And I think there's a lot of people out there who they go through and they decide, okay, I'm going to become one of these gym people. And so I am very antisocial when it comes to the gym, only because I only have a certain amount of time in order to get my stuff in before I've got to go and go to work. So I wear these big giant headphones that basically scream, you'll leave me alone. I'm just here to work. I'm not here to talk. I know there are some people out there and that's all they're looking to chat up the babes. But that's not my thing. I'm not going to do that. I'm here to get my work in so I can get on and start my day. So I just, I've reduced everyone at my gym down to nicknames because I'm not going to walk up and be like, hi, I'm Ryan. Want to be my friend? You know, it's just, I'm not going to, that's an awkward conversation. So I just assign all these people, all these different nicknames. I don't know what their names are, but I see them at the same time every day. And for all I know, they've got a nickname, you know, for me as well. But so you start to see these same people over and over again, and these are the people that you can tell they've become addicted to this lifestyle, or they're committed to this lifestyle. I don't like to use that term addicted. I mean, I guess it's not so bad, but it's, if you're going to be addicted to something, the gym is not necessarily a terrible addiction. But, you know, but so these are these people that have gone through and they've made the decision to go through and make this sacrifice. And so what are they going to cut out of their lives in order to find this improvement? And so that's where I would go through. And so when I'm encouraging people to go through and start an exercise program, because what you're going to see is you're going to start to see these changes in your life because, yeah, now, again, you're in bed at 9:30, you know, and it's kind of one of those things, you know, it's like my mom used to tell me back in, you know, in my high school days. She always said, be where you're going to go and get there before midnight. And I want you off, you know, I want you off the street by midnight. And I get what she's saying because nothing good happens in your life after midnight. And so it's just like, nope, get where you're going to get. Whatever buddy's house you're going to stay at that night. I know you guys are going to go out and chase girls, but be off the streets. I don't care where you go, but just, you know, be where you're going to be by midnight. So I get that. I understand that. So instead of, you know, staying up real late, it's, you know, and then when you start, and then you can go through, and because I do the same thing where you start looking at those cookies, you know, or you start looking at that beer and you're like, well, you know, man, that's going to be an extra, you know, 30 minutes on the treadmill. So you start, you know, getting rid of some of that bad stuff. And so by going through and doing that, as I mentioned it, and this is kind of like the important part that I really want to drive home with all this that I think is extremely important for everyone. It's important to have these realistic expectations. So as you go through and you start this program, and you're going to just start to see the development. Man, it's great and it's fantastic. But so there was a story in the Wall Street Journal back in September of 2021 where they used Facebook's internal studies to go through and point out how Instagram may be worsening body image concerns. It was like 1 in 3 teenage girls. And so, and that's going to lead into body image issues, you know, for women. But being someone who admires Arnold Schwarzenegger and John Cena and Chris Hemsworth and The Rock, I can tell you that body image issues are not exclusive to women. So men, we have them. I don't know if we have them as much as women do, but it is certainly a thing. And so we have these studies that have linked Instagram to, again, depression, body image concerns, self-esteem issues, social anxiety, all this sort of stuff. And that's where you have to go through and you have to remind yourself that these are potentially digitally enhanced pictures where they've gone through and they've used software or whatever they go through and they edit these pictures. Either that or they have, you know, professional lighting but this is not just, it's not just on Instagram. You can go to bodybuilding.com and you're going to see all these articles and you have all these, you know, athletes that are in there and they're posing and stuff like that. But we don't know what happened behind the scenes before they snapped that photo. And so We don't know how much they were working out. We didn't know, you know, what their training regimen was, you know, before then, all this sort of stuff. And so the problem with, say, something like Instagram, it's where people are going through and there is no end to it. You know, you're constantly going through and scrolling. And so when you have these curated pictures that are edited and you can get to a point where you can, if there's your friend stuff that you're following and if there's the celebrities that you're following, there are times where the boundaries can kind of start to blur between your peers and these celebrities. And so that leads to a false social comparison whenever they start to look at themselves. And so again, this goes back to, there was this Florida State University study and there were 1 in 3 women that said they edited their images to alter their weight or their shape before posting the photos on Instagram. And so this can cause, you know, eating disorders and just, you know, all this sort of, you know, terrible psychological problems that we're trying to deal with because we're comparing ourselves to these photo shoots when we don't know what digital trickery has been used. Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, and in the meantime, you're looking at your own selfie and you had a salty meal the night before, so you carry all this water weight. And so it's easy to go through and feel defeated. And so whenever people go through and they experience these things like this, this is where I try to tell people, okay, so we're going to go through, we're going to elevate your gym IQ. We want you to understand why you do, you know, this is what you're going to do. And this is why we want you to do it. So that way you can go through and you can tweak that program to be just for you. Because every single person is going to be different. Everyone's progress is going to be different. There are going to be factors involved. Genetics are going to be a factor involved. And then there's other people who have an obscene amount of money and can go through and can get surgery done to go through and make themselves, you know, look even better in real life. But that's not an accurate portrayal. So as you go through and you're developing all this sort of stuff, it's important. The important thing that I always try to remind everyone is that the only person that you're in competition with is who you were yesterday. That's my biggest thing. And I'm just as guilty of this. I have to remind myself this on a regular basis where I'm comparing myself to other people. And I think it's a dangerous road to go down. Because I don't know their whole story. I don't know what their genetic advantage is. I don't know, you know, what their whole lifestyle is. So that can be an extremely dangerous thing to do. So as you go through, and I hope if someone is listening to this and they go through and they, you know, are finding inspiration or they want to go through and try it, I hope that they do. And I hope they find that same level of success. But that's where I want just everyone to keep in mind, you know, it's you're just worry about yourself. Don't worry about what the person next to you is doing and try to be a little better than you were yesterday.
Those are very wise words. As I get older and I look at my initial motivations, because I too ask myself questions all the time, and I find that where I got thrown off was when bodybuilders changed from trying to look like Greco-Roman statues to looking like something different, you know, something that sprang from humanity but wasn't quite human.
And, right. Uh-huh.
And comparing myself to that, I would always fall short because I didn't have the time to budget toward looking that way. I wasn't willing to take steroids, and I didn't really want to compete in bodybuilding contests. So as I got older, I started looking at my initial motivations and what originally got me into working out in the first place. And I wanted to look like the ancient Greek statues. I wanted to look like the bodybuilders of the time that I was growing up in the 50s and the 60s who made those sword and sandal movies. And
right.
I found that once I got in touch with that again, it made my life a lot lighter because I was no longer under all that pressure to look like a bodybuilder, like on the magazines. I wanted to look like these heroes in the film and in the cinema. And that was something I'd attained many times in my life, and I certainly have attained it now. Although I could still stand to lose a few pounds here and to get firmer here, you know, that's that adjustment always needs to take place. I walk down the streets of my town and people yell out, you know, hey, look at those muscles and stuff like that. I'm in my 60s. So I finally became okay and I made peace with it. So I like working out every day. I work out for about an hour, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, depending on what I'm doing. I like to cycle through different types of routines, to try new things. I always go back to what's been tried and true and then try to build a foundation on that a few times a year when I've strayed off my path a little bit. And I find that my life is greatly enhanced so that exercise becomes a form of meditation, a form of prayer, a form of sacrifice even, you know, to like a higher ideal, you know, an idealized me. And it's very much in tune with my love of mythology and my love of sword and sandal cinema. So I found that helped me a lot. I no longer have to look unnatural to be happy with my body.
Right. And now I've never been to even as a spectator, to a bodybuilding competition, but I've seen, you know, there's a few movies on Netflix, the Generation Iron, things like that, where, yeah, you're just like, holy cow, these dudes, they're frighteningly big. Just scary big. And so I do think that is something that the bodybuilding community has acknowledged. And so I believe the classification that you're talking about is the classic physique is more of that Greco-Roman statuary, you know, type. They also go through and they also hype that as a bit of an all natural, which I think, you know, then that means all the other types are using steroids, and maybe they are, maybe they aren't, you know, but it's just, yeah. So there are some levels that are just, they're too big, where I'm the same way. It is that classic physique, that, you know, that Michelangelo's David, you know, to me is absolutely outstanding. And then that's where I go back to, again, I do think the greatest bodybuilder of all time is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think he is the perfect specimen. But whereas I think if Arnold competed today, you know, he would be a blown out of the water by these guys that are just so massively huge. But to me, that's not as aesthetic, whereas, you know, they're just going for sheer size. So, yeah, I completely understand what you're talking about. And I think that a lot of people, because again, I've talked with women about this, and one of the biggest things, one of their biggest hangups, is that, you know, they say, oh, I don't want to get all big and bulky. And I'm like, I've been doing this for 8 years trying to get big and bulky, and I can't do it, you know. So you're not going to be in trouble if you pick up one weight, you know. But then I do see the women that are in there, and they're doing, you know, legit weightlifting, and it's like, man, I'm proud of them that they're going through and they're doing this. They're working out with the weights because we see the improvement that's done. And so that's where for the listeners, it's a thing where, again, let me go back and reinforce. It's bodybuilding, and whenever I say bodybuilding, it's basically a form of all over training. So you're going through, you're trying to develop all the muscles to look aesthetically pleasing, to be this where everything is properly developed. And that's where I go back to, it's not easy, but it's simple. We're just going to go through, we're going to lift this weight, and we're going to lift, you know, this much for this amount. So it is a thing where literally anyone can do it. And I think that's probably the biggest mistake that people think, is that they're too intimidated, not knowing what to do going in. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again, you know, making fun of someone that's overweight at the gym is like making fun of a homeless person at a job fair. They're exactly where they need to be. And so that's where it's, I think there's more than enough seats at a table. It's not a zero sum game. Their improvement is not going to diminish mine. So no. I'm more than happy to reach back here and say, hey man, if I can help you along your journey and make it a little bit easier than I had to, you know, by going through and figuring out what didn't work, that's where I'm always happy to come on and talk in formats like this, so that way people can understand, yes, it is something that everyone can do.
On that note, we have to start wrapping up. How can people contact you and find you? And I have something to ask, but it'll probably be off the recording by personal message, because I don't know if we have enough time.
Okay, sure. No, that's fine. Yeah, the way that you go through and you promote me on Facebook, that's probably the absolute best way. Even being a professional author, I'm the first to admit I am the world's worst when it comes to self-promotion. So it's something that I need to work on to put myself out there. But the way that that you promote things on your Facebook page, and now that you're back up and running, you know, with your old page recovered, the way that you promote on Facebook is probably the best way that gets my name out there for everyone.
I'm honored that you say so, and glad to do it. Going back to Arnold, I run a lot of sword and sandal cinema, and Arnold was only in one Hercules movie, in a few Conan movies, and the Red Sonja movie, and that's pretty much it where it comes to fantasy. His group that I created for as part of Sword and Sandal Cinema has 18,800 people in it, which is many times over what all the rest of them have combined.
I think it just shows you what a reach that the governor has. He's just a tremendous individual, and not to elevate one, or not to put down one to elevate another, but I honestly think that Schwarzenegger is one of the greatest American success stories in the history of our country. I think he's definitely someone to emulate.
I think so too. He has 90 seconds, and he does a lot of good in the world, and he shares a lot of his techniques. He's very generous, and I share that information as much as I do information about Conan or Hercules. You know, it's basically the good things Arnold's doing and what he's learned and how he shares it. Because, you know, we can learn a lot from him, and he certainly is someone who can put his money where his mouth is, you know, in terms of his accomplishments.
Absolutely.
Thank you so very much, Ryan. You're awesome. I look forward to this every month, and the time passes all too quickly.
Thank you very much for letting me be on here and ramble on for as long as I did.
No, you were giving out so much information, I didn't want to interfere with the flow.
Well, thanks very much.
And thanks to everybody who tuned in. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, Ryan.
Thank you.